affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and Bob has been involved in this longer than I have, and remember, I've been around here for almost 46 years doing this. Bob's in his early 70s. Of course, I'll look upon him as a fairly young man, but he certainly is right on top of what's happening throughout the world today, because the whole world financial system is crumbling before our eyes. And of course, we have a system of banking that creates money out of nothing. These people have made tremendous profits working in concert with government, and people like Henry Paulson, our Secretary of the Treasury, made $500 million, and he gave up his $40 million a year job to come to the Treasury Department as Secretary of the Treasury for $185,000 a year. Do you really believe he did that because he's concerned about you and me? No, he's concerned about his friends at Goldman Sachs and the other international financiers. And we have now given him $850 billion. We had to come up with $150 billion in bribes to get the congressmen to switch their votes. And although Congress voted the legislation to give Henry Paulson exclusive control of $700 billion, he could do with it whatever he wants. No court can review what he's done. No congressman can interfere. They may find out what he's done after we find out he's given the money to his friends, but there can be no repercussions for Henry Paulson. A man of truly very, very clever. And, of course, they actually frankly bribed and frightened the congressmen to change their votes. If you doubt that, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Look at the section under other videos, about the third or fourth video down there, is Congressman Brad Sherman talking about how Congress was actually threatened. Congress was threatened and told there'd be troops on the streets, there'd be martial law last Monday, and of course the stock market would crumble if they refused to change their votes. And they bought 20 congressmen for $150 billion of goodies, $150 billion of bribes, raising the sum to $850 billion that the government doesn't have. And of course we've got a real problem, ladies and gentlemen. Cindy Bob, how are you tonight?
Well, pretty good. I think that it's interesting that the powers behind government used $150 billion of taxpayer money and not their own.
Well, why should they use their own when they can get our congressmen to vote the money, which of course doesn't exist? It's simply going to help to destroy the value of our currency and the savings and pensions and insurance policies and everything people have worked their whole lives for as they move to impoverish the American people, and that's what it's all about.
Well, you're right about that, and I foresee a correction here. We just had a 500-point move at the end of Friday upward, and today we had about 1,000 on the Dow, and tomorrow morning I think we'll have a couple of hundred points upward as the public comes in, maybe more, and I think it's a good time to short the market because I think it's going to go back down again, and I think it'll go down a little bit deeper this time, down to 72.68 for its first test of low of the early century, which is 2002, approximately. And I think that...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. All right, Bob, we'll go right ahead.
I think that this low will be tested, and we'll probably have another rally after that. And after the election, I think there'll be continued deterioration. And during the course of the year, it'll break back down to 6,000, 5,000, 3,800. This is going to be a real barn burner. And the public doesn't really understand what's going on, and they don't know the ramifications, because as the market goes down and opportunities cease, unemployment goes up, and the amount of money that goes into circulation increases, we have inflation, and at the same time, we have a recession. It's just the worst of all worlds. And I think Americans are a little prepared for it, and I think they're in for a big surprise.
Well, I think that, you know, nobody ever asked, well, the Congress appropriated $850 billion, what was it, last Saturday that they appropriated it? You sort of lose track of time here after a while. Maybe it was a week ago, it was a week ago last Friday that they appropriated $850 billion. That's almost $1 trillion. Where is that money coming from, Bob?
They are going to create debt instruments, which will be sold ostensibly, almost all of it to foreigners, who is still within the program, so to speak. And they're supposed to buy all that up. They probably will. And they will put their, I'd call them liabilities, being the dollars, in a position where they can't extricate themselves eventually. And so that's how I think it'll be funded. But the debt will still be there. The debt is being incurred by the American taxpayer. Never mind what the Treasury is doing otherwise and what the Federal Reserve is doing. I mean, they just allocated $1.5 trillion to European banks. That's the money that they're using to bail out their system. And there has never been anything more inflationary than what's going on right now. And yes, I know that we have deflation at the same time, and that is being overrun by the inflationary bias. And that will continue.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Bob is simply pointing out that the government simply created this $850 billion, almost $1 trillion, you know, just a week ago. And, of course, this is created to bribe the congressmen. They're getting $150 billion of that for pork projects, for switching their votes. I mean, I call it bribing. They call it politics. I think it's just about the same thing, because we've got the finest congressmen in Washington, D.C. today that money could buy, and I think they all ought to be voted out, and just about every one of them. Maybe those who voted against this bailout for the big banks, you know, certainly it should be kept, but this is not a bailout to help the people. This is for Henry Paulson's buddies at Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and J.P. Morgan Chase. But Bob was just pointing out that there was another $1.5 trillion. I mean, you know, $1.5 trillion that we gave to the central banks of Europe just this last week. Where did the money come from? We don't have it. They just created it out of nothing, highly inflationary. We've already given almost half a trillion dollars to our own banks to try to keep them from falling apart, over and above this $700 or $850 billion. You know, $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there, and pretty soon you're talking about worthless money. I don't think the average American understands that they're in the process, and this is happening intensively, of destroying the value of the dollar. They know what they're doing, and they know where this is going to lead to hyperinflation, but nobody seems to care, and nobody's telling the American people, Bob. That's the problem.
Well, as long as I can go to the mall and watch their sporting events and have their beer, it's okay. And nothing's ever really gone bad in any great way since the Second World War, so they figure it's just going to continue on. And people like you and I really don't understand, and we'll probably be wrong. But I've got to say that this time it's going to be different. This time this thing's going to blow up. And they've opened up a window of opportunity, and that has given us an opportunity to inform people and tell them what to do and how to stop these people.
I certainly agree with you. I think it's so vitally important that people get copies of your programs and certainly of your newsletter and get to others so that they will begin to understand that there is a force behind everything that's going on today that is intent upon destroying the economic stability of our nation and, of course, the life savings of most of the people in this country. Because you destroy currency, why you destroy everything people have? People in America don't understand, but it's happened time and again. It happened in it's happening right today in Rhodesia. It suddenly happened in Argentina a few years ago. It happened in Russia, you know, during the 1990s. And it's happened in country after country after country. And we've had economic stability here, or relative stability. They've been destroying the value of our currency so slowly. I mean, they've destroyed probably 97% of the value of the 1913 dollars when they've created the privately owned central bank. We call it the Federal Reserve. It's about as federal as Federal Express. I mean, it is not a federally controlled organization. It is controlled by the central bankers. And it is not that the government controls the central bankers. The central bankers control our government. And believe me, the president and others go to them hat in hand asking for help and advice. So what's going to happen next, Bob?
Well, I think with the movement we've seen here over this past weekend, and there's more coming out tomorrow. They're having a big meeting later today on Monday of the bankers in New York City. And I think the next step is to extend this credit and bring down the LIBOR rate and go and see if they can get the banks to lend to each other, which I think they're going to be successful at finally, because it doesn't matter what's on what is on the banker's balance sheet. If he's got enough money to stay in business, he doesn't care, because the debt that is on the balance sheet is going to be there, and it's not going to go away anyway. And so I think you'll see an easing of the credit crisis over the next 6 months. But I think as time goes on, and I don't know a time frame yet, but I think as time goes on, what will happen is that the public, particularly professional investors and other investors, will start to see the charade for what it is, particularly as the inflation figures go higher, and they're going to get disillusioned, and then the stock market's going to go lower, and that's going to cause more problems as well. We're going to have higher unemployment, and I think people are finally going to see that the problems haven't been solved, and they may be insolvable.
Well, I saw a film clip with Jim Rogers today. Jim Rogers used to be an associate of George Soros. He's a very brilliant guy, but, you know, I sort of like him. He seems like a very much of a rugged individualist. I think he's living over in the Orient someplace. He was asked what he's doing with his money. He said, I'm investing in Swiss francs. I'm investing in Japanese yen. I'm investing in commodities. At least those are going to go up. And then he said, you know, why would we think that we can get, you know, any help at all from people like Bernanke and Paulson? He said, after all, if I was on your program, he's talking to the man who's interviewing him, and I was here every week for, 100 weeks, and I always gave you the wrong advice and the wrong information, would you put any credence in what I had to say? Would you really trust me to solve the problems that are facing our society? And of course, it's pretty hard to believe that we can go to the people who created the problem to solve the problem. And yet, what do they want? They want more money to give to their friends in the banking industry. They want to guarantee everybody's bank deposits. But, you know, when the banks fail, where does the money come from? They create it out of nothing. And it's simply every time they do that, they destroy more of the value of our currency. And people cannot believe that they would intentionally destroy the value of their pensions. But you know, certainly over in Rhodesia, where we imposed the government there, they call it Zimbabwe today, but, you know, the people there have pensions. You know, you may get a pension of $1,000 a month. It won't buy you a loaf, won't buy you simply a piece of bread, one simple slice of bread, not with between 2.5 and $10 million a year inflation, 10 million percent inflation a year. I mean, people cannot believe it's that bad, but that's the government we put in there. And that's the government we've been supporting in the name of humanitarian aid, of course. So how, certainly, Bob, what can people do at this point to protect themselves? Because certainly they should have taken your advice a long time ago.
Well, I think the first thing, because it's so enclitic of the time frame, is to make an effort to get others to throw everybody out of the House and Senate except Ron Paul and a handful of others. All the rest should go. And if you can do that, you might have a shot of stopping what's going on. If that does not happen, then it's not going to be good. It's going to be very bad. And how do you protect yourself? What I've been telling you on Stan's program for years, you get out of debt, get rid of your credit card and revolving debt first because it's most expensive. You then try to get rid of the debt on your automobiles and trucks so that you'll be relatively free and clear if one of you loses your job, and that's an excellent possibility because I think over the next 3 years we'll go up to over 30% unemployment, probably closer to 40, because we're on a long-term basis, we're already at 14, and that's government figures. And the U6 is 11%. Those are the people who just stop collecting in the last 6 months state checks for unemployment, and the regular 6.1% unemployment doesn't mean anything. And so I think that's going higher. You should have freeze-dried and dehydrated foods, a method of cleaning water so that if you have to, you can clean brackish water and make it drinkable. And you should be able to defend your family. And those are, I think, the most important things. And those who have money after they've done all those things could buy gold and silver coins and shares. And those who have a lot of money who don't want to be completely in that venue, then they can get themselves perhaps some Swiss franc government bonds, which I think are priced very well currently.
Well, of course, you've been telling people a lot of time to get out of the stock market, and those who want to speculate, to speculate in shorts. And you've been pushing shorting a lot of things that have just simply fallen out of bed. That, I mean, we've got stocks that were, you know, $100, $150 a share that are down to $5 a share today. It's been one of the dramatic fall, you know, and decline of the stock market I've ever seen. And certainly the people who are in the stock market on margin have just been totally wiped out.
What's very interesting about the market right now is that even if you're a new player, you have to say to yourself, how does a market on Friday in the last half hour go up 500 points? How does the market on Monday go up almost 1,000 points? And I think it's going to be up tomorrow morning, which I think is an excellent short. But how do those things happen? It's your government who is rigging the market. These are the criminals.
And, of course, it's
called... It's supposed to have a free market in this country.
It's called the Working Group on Financial Matters. Go to Google it in, Working Group on Financial Matters. It's called the Plunge Protection Team. It's a government agency that rigs the market. About time the American people began to understand, it is all rigged. And, of course, it's rigged so the rich get richer. And you know what happens to the middle class? They simply get eliminated. Go right ahead, Bob.
I think one of the unfortunate things that's going to happen shortly.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iOtterol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-
Religiously, because it gives you an overview of what's really going on. And right now, of course, we see the market gyrating. It's all being manipulated. It's being manipulated by the Working Group on Financial Markets. If you've never heard of them, that's because you're not supposed to. You go up on the Internet, you can Google in working group Financial Markets or the Plunge Protection Team and find out how this branch of government manipulates the markets. And, of course, they come out well because they know what's going to happen. And you get into the market because you think it's going to fall and it goes up. You get into the market because you think it's going to go up and it falls. But they know what's going to happen ahead of time. And of course, the problem is, of course, that the Federal Reserve System works in concert with that, is a privately owned central bank. That is, of course, why the politicians go to the bank. Certainly the bank doesn't go to the politicians, other than those, of course, that finances, but like Barack Obama, and go right ahead. Bob?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be interesting, the fact that we have now found that, and it's not reached the major media yet, that Mr. Obama was born in Kenya, and that they can't find any reference to his law degree that he supposedly has, and a number of other things. And I think it would be quite an event if he were elected president and all this stuff came out, and he couldn't legally be president, and Mr. Biden became president, and Mr. Obama had to be dismissed. And it could come to that.
That's an interesting thing to contemplate, and certainly, but just John McCain doesn't bring any of this out. He's playing a part. They're all controlled by the same people. Until you understand that George Soros gave a phenomenal amount of money to Obama, but he also gave a phenomenal amount of money through a foundation to John McCain. That's covered in Joe Farah's book, None of the Above. That's covered in Joe Farah's book, None of the Above. And we're not carrying it because, of course, it won't be very advantageous after the election. But I think it's an excellent book. You can get it at your local bookstore. And George Soros is financing both candidates, as are so many of the people from the establishment. But, of course, I think John McCain is slated to lose. Everything points in that direction today. Unless, of course, there's some major event here in the next few weeks that's going to turn things around. But, of course, it really doesn't make a bit of difference because they're all controlled by the same people. I think that's the biggest part of this that people don't understand. It's all a charade. It's symbolism over substance. It's rhetoric over reality. It's a ritual we go through every 4 years to give you the idea that we really can change things, but the same people control the presidency, whether it's the Republican or the Democrats who are in power. Well, Bob, why is there such a disconnect between gold and silver at the present time? I mean, after all, I mean, they knocked the price of silver down to $10 or $11 an ounce, and you can't buy it for $10 or $11 an ounce.
Well, I think they've taken gold down again from over 900 to 840 or wherever it is, and but silver they've been more successful with. And the reason that there's this dichotomy is that the silver is much easier to manipulate because it's a thinner market. And the CFTC, of course, being part of the government, lets the professionals do exactly as they please to do. And there's massive shorts on there. And now we've got banks involved. There's three banks involved in silver and gold on the short side of the market with enormous contracts.
One of them is Goldman Sachs, of course. Henry Paulson's a bank, so nothing's going to be done to them for dishonestly rigging the market.
Right, and the other party's Morgan, and I don't know who the third one is, but the point is that the market is being manipulated. It's being allowed to be manipulated. And it will continue to do so until we stop these people. And I don't know what the catalyst will be to bring that about, but if it doesn't happen, they're going to continue to go and do exactly as they want to do. And that's the difference between silver coming down 50% and gold coming down perhaps 10 or 15%. And that's why this difference and prices.
But I think all throughout the world, people are trying to get into gold and silver. And you just can't buy it because it's not, well, you can buy it, but it's not available at a given price. And even in many areas, like coins and other things, are very difficult to get today.
Sure are.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And certainly everything we're hearing from the dealers that we are in contact with is that you said you can get them, but they certainly don't have very much in the way of a supply at the present time, do they?
No, they don't. And for the most part, there's not very much silver around at all in any form. And there are some bullion coins in the form of Swiss francs and the British sovereigns. There's very little in the bullion gold coins in any denomination. And I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. The premiums on all the bullion pieces have gone up. And also, the premiums on numismatic coins have gone up. And I've been telling people this for years, particularly in the last year, that these premiums have been historically low at this time. And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. I mean, people who are putting off buying gold and silver physical in here are making a terrible mistake, because the market can turn around and run to the upside in $100 and nothing flat. And so I think that people should really go ahead and do buying if they're in a position to and had wanted to buy. And the same thing is true with the shares, which are off about 50% or so. And there's no reason for them to be off. And which brings up another thing, if prices on gold and silver continue where they are, the mines are going to start shutting down. And that means that less gold and silver will be coming to the market. And that ties the situation up even more. And with South Africa, they supply about 23% of the world's gold, and their production is off like 23.4%. And so the supply equation continues to contract. And at the same time, the production of gold, which historically has been in shortfall about 150 tons, is going to get worse. And so everything fundamental points toward higher prices, no matter what anybody does.
All right, you hold that thought right.
It's going to go up.
Hold that thought. We'll be right there, Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and if you're out in the listening audience, you have a question for Bob. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 right here in the Central Coast of California. But before we go on, Bob, would you like to give out your telephone number, your website, so if people would like to get in touch with you, they can?
The International Forecast is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesday and Saturdays via email. It runs around 25 or 30 pages each day. And we have a hard copy for those who are not on the Internet, and we send that out twice a month. And if you'd like to get a free introductory copy, you can go to the site, which is the internationalforecaster.com, the international forecaster.com. If you want to email us, our address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com, international_forecaster@yahoo.com, or you can call toll-free, 800-375-4242.
All right, well, an awful lot of people are losing their homes today. It's estimated, I think, about one in every six houses, you know, that still has a mortgage on it is having problems with people paying their, keeping up with their monthly payments. And, of course, a lot of this was planned. They certainly encouraged people to buy homes at exorbitant prices, but, you know, they can get them with literally nothing down. And, of course, who would not want to have a beautiful home with nothing down? All you had to do is make the... Well, you didn't even really have to make the monthly payments. You could either pay the interest, you could pay the, a little on the principal, but you didn't have to pay very much. Adjustable rate mortgages was the... cry, you know, get an adjustable rate mortgage, get in for 2 or 3%. Isn't that wonderful? It was almost too good to be true. And the truth of the matter is, it was too good to be true, and it was a trap, and they laid it for literally millions of Americans. And then, of course, as the people began to default on their mortgages and houses began to be foreclosed on, and, of course, this started to set off a whole chain of events. And, of course, the biggest thing is the derivatives. Could you talk a little bit about the derivatives and how the CDOs or the collateralized debt obligations, which are made up of these mortgage loans, how the derivative market is the real problem we're facing today, and most people don't even know what it is?
Well, there's all aspects of this, but I think one of the most important ones is that the United States government is using derivatives, which are unregulated, to manipulate the stock markets of the world and the commodity markets and everything else. So with that said, we'll move on to the derivative problem. The major problem with Lehman Brothers, which just went bankrupt, was not only the CDS which they were holding, which are the collateralized debt obligations, which are bonds which contain mortgages and parts of mortgages. They just had a sale on Friday in the billions of dollars, and they sold their CDOs, or they were auctioned off at approximately 8¾ cents on the dollar.
In other words, somebody's going to have to make up the other 91 and 92 cents.
Well, they were auctioned, so, you know, it's over.
Right. But, I mean, somebody's going
to lose. But that's not the real problem.
Okay.
I mean, that was bad. But the derivatives behind that, what they were doing was writing derivatives, especially derivatives called credit swaps. And they were to guarantee that if a company went bankrupt, that they would pay off. And they had no collateral to cover this. They were running naked. And most of these firms are running naked on these derivatives. What they have done is turned it into a vast gambling palace. It's been that way for the last 8 years. And the chickens are coming home to roost. There's 1.25 quadrillion derivatives out there. Those credit swaps are about 60 trillion of that. And so they're a part of it. These people don't even know what they own. They don't know who owns it. They just went berserk. And that's why the government here in the United States, through the Fed, and also in Europe, have done what they've recently done. And they've stopped trying to take on this toxic garbage as collateral for loans or swaps of treasury bills for this garbage paper. And they're just outright giving the loans to the banks and financial institutions. No matter how much you want, you got it. And that's why it's degenerated to that.
But, of course, you and I can't go in the bank, get all the money we want, but the banks can go to the federal government, get all the money they want. That's the incredible thing about this whole scenario. And, of course, they're desperately trying to preserve the banks, but this is not going to help the homeowners. They're going to lose their homes just the same. but they're really not interested in the homeowners. They're interested in preserving the financial system that has created such artificial prosperity because banks create money out of nothing. And I think that, as Jimmy Rogers said today, and anybody can see that clip, YouTube clip at RadioLiberty.com, other videos, RadioLiberty.com, other videos, or just Google in Jimmy Rogers, YouTube, and he says you've got to let these banks go down, because if you try to keep this thing going, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And Jimmy Rogers is one of the smartest people in the world.
You're
the present company
right.
Accepted, of course.
Jimmy's right.
Okay. Well, let's go to Peter, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, Peter. Do you have a question for our guest?
Good evening. I have the 8 most reassuring words to everyone that works on Wall Street. I'm Henry Paulson, and I'm here to help.
Would you like to comment on that, Bob?
Well, you can trust me on that.
Right.
There's no verification,
That's really what it's about. You know, I spent 28 years in Wall Street, and I was not a very popular person there because my ideas were much different than the run-of-the-mill people there. And I would say 85% of them are a bunch of crooks. And that's just what it's pointed out here recently. And they own the government. And they can get any legislation they want, which is proven. And they're going to continue to do what they're doing until we stop them.
And I think anybody who doubts that really needs to read the book Tragedy and Hope, which we carry. It's written by Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Quigley, an economist and, of course, a historian at Georgetown University after he had taught at Harvard and Princeton. But on page 324, he says just what Bob said. The central banks work in concert to create a feudalistic system, and they control the governments. That's what it's really all about. He who controls the money controls the governments, and these are privately owned banks. They're not elected by the people. They control our elected representatives, and the average individual has no idea. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, it certainly is. And unless they read, or unless they listen to the programs, they'll never know.
Well, Peter, did you have anything else to say?
Well, my last comment I want to make is that this calendar year we passed $1 trillion in credit card debt, and I believe that the run on the banks has already begun, and people are doing it through their credit cards. That's my observation. I'd like your comment, Bob. Again, Dr. Stan, God bless you. Thanks for the work you do.
Thank you very much, Peter. Bye-bye. Do you have any? Peter suggests that the credit card defaults are going to be part of the run on the bank.
Yes, and it really hasn't burgeoned yet. The use of credit card credit has fallen, but the debit structure has only fallen slightly, and it will continue to diminuate, depreciate, get smaller, and as it does, the economy will slow down, and these debts are going to come home to roost, and the banks that issue these cards are going to be in serious trouble. I mean, there's such a line of problems that it's just insurmountable. I mean, these people in the banks had to be absolutely crazy, I mean, to do what they did. Either that or they had to have been just totally bent on destroying the system, which is probably the truth, so that they can turn it into a one-world system. And because you can't any other way explain the improper and the incompetent behavior of banks and Wall Street in a number of spheres.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that they want to destroy the system. After all, their real objective is a world government, and you can't have a world government if you've got sovereign nations and sovereign currencies. So they have to destroy our currency. They have to destroy our sovereignty. And then, of course, out of the chaos that they are producing will come the cry, let's have a world government. They're already talking about we've got to have a world financial system. We've got to increase the international, the power of international organizations. We need a global currency system. We need a global government to address these issues. Listen carefully. You'll hear that refrain over and over again. Only they understand what they're doing. This is why they created the problem. They just don't want you out there in the listening audience to know. Our telephone number is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Cindy, I have Steve calling from Richmond. Steve, Richmond, whereabouts? Oh, Richmond, Washington. Go ahead, Steve. You have a question for our guest?
Hey, Dr. Stan, just a quick comment.
Okay, go ahead.
For a while. I just want to comment on the transparency of the stock market and what these guys have been doing. Me and my buddies up here have been watching this for a few years now and kind of predicting how it's going to happen. And one of my good friends, Aaron, that is really much better at this than I am, this last couple of weeks, he's been predicting the swings in the market almost to the minute. You know, we talk in the morning and he'll say it'll fall till 12:30 and then it'll start rallying back up and then fall off again, and he'll get it almost to, you know, like 12:26, and that they make it seem confusing and nobody really knows what's going on, but really the guys that are running the show have known all along what's going on because they understand the system and they've done it intentionally.
All right, fine. You have a thought on that, Bob?
Oh, he's absolutely correct.
Okay,
and Friday and today were perfect examples in the U.S. stock market. Just incredible. The arrogance of the manipulation and not caring who knows what they're doing. I mean, you know, we're bigger than God. We're the masters of the universe. We know better for you what's good for you, and we're going to do exactly as we want.
We agree with this, Steve. I think it's fascinating, and I just hope you get the people up there listening to our program, getting educated, and understanding not only what's happening economically, but the spiritual forces that are energizing this whole thing.
Well, I always keep a couple of copies of your book at my desk and pass them around to anybody that's interested.
God bless. Thanks very much. Okay, fine. Let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I just want to ask Bob about the high-tech stocks. Why aren't they as affected by this whole thing, and, you know, this whole sham that they're... Why aren't the high-tech stocks affected so much? Why didn't they drop, you know... I can't figure out what's going on.
Last week they dropped 15% or so.
But that's not very much compared to...
No, but all the others were in the same category.
Yeah.
And they've just been a little bit late. Biotech stocks, too, have not dropped as much as others.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's going to change.
Mm.
We're in the middle of a rally right now. We've already seen, between Friday and Monday, 1,500 points.
Mm.
And we'll probably get a couple of hundred more tomorrow. But then it's a good short again. Because the market will be overbought, if nothing else. But the market has nothing to do at the moment with fundamentals. It only has to do with the 85% of the players who use black boxes, plus the U.S. government,
yeah,
and about 8% of individual investors. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so... the market is run by pros who don't care what earnings are in any companies. They buy stocks based upon volume and volatility and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's nothing involved that is fundamental. And so many people who are professionals are leaving the stock market. And the reason why is between the rigging and a high power of these people who have this enormous amount of money,
mm-hmm,
to go into the market, they've given up. And more and more are going to do so. In the commodity markets, it's even worse. In fact, today they raised margins on silver and gold, which is absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
I mean, silver just come down 50%, and gold just moved down about $100 an ounce.
That doesn't make sense.
Putting higher mortgages on?
That doesn't make any sense. It's all like, well, you know, the other thing, too, it interests me, that all these people, they go to the same schools, you know. Wharton School of Economics, you know, they go to the same schools. It's a little club, a little boys' club. And they think they're, you know, they're gods, you know, and it's a boys' club. It's like a boys' club
right,
to me.
It
kind of reminds me
the
of
the Ivy League schools.
Yeah,
the
Ivy League school people, yeah.
Although I didn't go Ivy League, I decided to go to Northeastern and Boston instead. But you're right about that.
Yeah, it is. It's the way
it's set up. Is we win, you lose. And, of course, they've rigged the Dow Jones market. And of course, many times the Dow Jones is entirely different than the Standard & Poor's or the Russell's Index. So understand that they rig this. And, of course, the biggest thing that people watch is the Dow Jones. And that is the one that they really rig. Of course, they rig them all, but certainly the Dow Jones is the important one, and then, of course, the rest follow in concert. Hey, Ray.
That's about it.
Just keep listening. Get the rest of those people out there listening, and God bless. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Bob, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
You know, I knew you were going to do this.
That's all right. We do it every
totally
evening.
Totally lateral the ball to me with the last.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Real problems, but if you're in a position to help, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get the four best tapes and or a newsletter every month, or you can just subscribe to the newsletter or whatever you feel called upon to do. But right now, it's so vitally important that we reach as many people as we can in the time that is allotted to us. Now, I do need to mention, of course, that we're having our all-day conference on the 26th. That's a week from this coming Sunday, the 26th of October. And it's going to be the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We're pretty well filled. We've still got a few seats there. And, of course, we're serving lunch. You're going to have reservations. We can only put a certain number of people there in the room, about 150, and we're approaching that. But if you want to come, you're going to have to let us know, because they have to tell the chef that prepares the lunch. And, of course, we're bringing in speakers from all across the country. We're bringing Russell Blaylock from the East Coast, and we're bringing Patrick Wood from up in Idaho or Montana. We're bringing Joanna Michelson from Southern California. She was basically a medium. She was into the supernatural. She was being trained to become a psychic healer, and she saw, you know, hundreds of miracles, but they weren't from the Lord. That's the thing. They weren't from the Lord. And, of course, she eventually began to realize this was all demonic. And there are demonic forces out there. They're working within medicine. They're also working within the financial realm. And if you have not yet seen our little pamphlet called The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy, we're going to try to remember to bring some of those. But if you want to get one, you're going to get anything else from us, just ask for a free copy of The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy. It was actually channeled to a woman named Alice Bailey some years ago, and put out by the Lucis Trust. It used to be the Lucifer Publishing House, but it's put out by the Lucis Trust. And they say they want it distributed. They want to get it out. And so we want to help it and help them get it out. And they tell about how they had their agents planted in finance all throughout the world. The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy. Well, anyway, of course, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And if you want to come to our conference, well, you're going to have to let us know, preferably by the end of this week. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we also want you to know about some of the books we have. We have our talk on the financial tsunami. And, of course, it's a talk I gave several years ago, but it's just as apropos. You certainly would want to get the syllabus that goes with that, because it explains, it has all the government documents, and it explains the various terms. Then, of course, you'd want to get the little pamphlets we put out. They're inexpensive. On the history of money, and on the financial meltdown, which brings you right up to the present time, and suggests why Alan Greenspan betrayed the American people and precipitated the current crisis. Because he did. He knew what he was doing. But the question is, why did he do it? When he knows, of course, that as he said in his essay, and you can find it on the Internet, Gold and Freedom. That's Alan Greenspan, Gold and Freedom. The welfare state hates God. Hates gold because, after all, without gold, there is no means to protect your wealth. I mean, your wealth will be destroyed if there's no gold behind the currency, and that is what the message he put out. And yet, that was 1966. Yet, when he became the head of the Federal Reserve Board in 1987, he set out to destroy our economic system. Why would he do that? You may be interested in our conclusions in my little pamphlet on the financial meltdown. You want to get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island. You'll want to get the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and The Fiat Money Inflation in France. All those books, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually squat, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and certainly the views of our guest today, and our guest for this next hour is Don Edwards, and Don is a missionary over in India, is my understanding, and he is, of course, going to be telling us what's going on in India as far as the Christian population. Mr. Edwards, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a privilege.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself? We haven't had a chance to talk to you before. We only have, of course, certainly the scheduler's information. So you actually work full-time over in India?
Well, I back and forth between the United States and India. Spend about one quarter of my time in India each year.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, are you supervising missionaries? You do work as a missionary or what?
We have a large national staff of missionaries in India. Rather than sending Western missionaries to India, we work with indigenous missionaries in India.
All right, fine. Well, that certainly is a good way. And then do you train the missionaries so that they can just go out and preach the gospel, is this it?
Well, our organization works more as a training institution where we train our staff who goes out and trains missionaries all across India. So it's kind of two levels down where we actually see the missionary efforts actually occurring on the field.
What's happening as far as the Christian church in India today? How effective is your work? And what is the response of the Hindus over there towards the Christian message?
Well, the Church of Jesus Christ is growing in India today in a rapid way. Not just through the efforts of Mission India, but through many other mission organizations that are operating in India. And as a general rule, the peoples of India, most of them are Hindus, are quite responsive to the gospel because it, especially when you, especially I would say the poor classes, the tribals, those that we would know from our lessons in history about the caste system as untouchables.
In other words, the untouchable is much more open to that than the Brahmin or other levels of the hierarchy over there.
Yeah, that's very true, Dr. Stan. One of the realities is, you know, when Jesus came and he began his ministry, he quoted from Isaiah chapter 61 about coming to work with the poor, and it just seems that the poor are more aware of their need and are more willing to acknowledge it than the Brahmin or even in this country the people that are more well off. We think we're pretty much self-sufficient and don't really need God's help.
I think I find that is especially true. I was a practicing physician, an orthopedic surgeon for many years, and in the medical profession, most people didn't need God. And, of course, only when there was a tragedy in their life did they come to know God. And, of course, we never were a majority in our community, but it was interesting of all the tragedies that occurred and how time and again, of course, people, doctors I'd known and worked with for years, would never listen to anything I said. Okay, once tragedy crossed their lives and they lost a son or a wife or something else happened, at that point, man begins to search for God. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Don, thank you. Go right ahead. So tell us a little bit about what's going on over in India today. Sydney, you mentioned the church. It seems to be growing and growing fairly well. Sydney, India is changing and changing dramatically. At least this is what we hear, that Sydney, with the prosperity that at least is coming there for the first time, India is coming out of some of its primitive ways, and there's a lot of industrial development, and, you know, certainly people are even getting to a position where they can buy cars, people who have been impoverished in the past. What's your impression of what's taking place in India today?
Along that line, I would say that the effects of globalization are making an impact on Indian society and culture in general, but it only affects a small percentage of the population. Some say, at least what I have read, is that especially the high-tech industry, many of us make phone calls to have someone help us with our computer or something else, and often it's a person from India. Well, those jobs only affect about 1% of India's population. It's very interesting. Just last month, an article came out in one of India's magazines about the poverty level in India today. And they said that half of the world's poor live in India today. Over 400 million people live on less than $1.25 a day. And approximately 900 million live on less than $2.50 a day. That's the most recent report by the United Nations. So even though prosperity is happening in India, it's only happening to a small percentage. But a small percentage of a billion people is, 1% is still 10 million people. So, and then when you talk about cars being purchased, they are. But by a relatively few within the whole of Indian society.
All right, fine. Of course, when you talk about Sydney, 1%, 10 million people working with the electronic industry, that's an awful lot of people by our standards. But of course, I don't think we can really relate to the number of people, a billion people living over within the confines of India alone. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Don was simply talking about what's going on in India, pointing out that probably not more than 1% of the population really are certainly working in the electronics, are working in the telephone banks, would answer your telephone calls. But 1% over there is about 10 million people. That's a lot of people. But he pointed out, I think, that something, a rather frightening figure, and that is that 900 million people live on about $2.50 a day. Would that be about right?
That's correct. In fact, I just found the article. It's actually 938 million live on less than $2.50 a day.
And I don't think the average American can understand that. I mean, $2.50 a day, you can't even get a cup of coffee at Starbucks, half a cup of coffee at Starbucks for that.
Sure,
so we live in a make-believe world. Maybe they live in the real world. We live in a make-believe world. We'll be right back here in a moment here. Go right ahead. You go right ahead.
Oh, you want me to continue on?
You go right ahead, please.
Sure. So in terms of where India is at, the majority of, as I said at the beginning, of your question, that the majority of the world's poor, over 50%, live in India today. And most Americans are not aware of that at all. And so there are many reasons for that poverty, which is endemic across India. But at the same time, as I said as well, those that recognize their need are generally more open to hearing the good news about a God who who loves them, a God who is willing to sacrifice his son for their sake. And that really is good news in a place like India.
And of course, you know, I've always been so fascinated by the fact that there's a tremendous amount of occultic activity there. Certainly, the snake charmers, the people who can climb up the rope, you know, the rope will just go up in the sky, the people who can walk on the coals. I mean, all of these things are manifestations of, I believe, supernatural power. There's strong supernatural influence there, isn't there?
There is. Hinduism, which is about 80% of India's population, 82% is Hindu. And basically, even though the Hindus wouldn't like to hear this, it's basically demonic worship. They worship demons, idols and demons, and that's and so their whole world revolves around the occult. And that's why these manifestations, I would say, happen more frequently in a place like India than a place like the United States or most of the Western countries.
And of course they have their snake charmers and all of these things, and I know we have a friend who was raised in India and tells us about all the supernatural things that happen there. But going along with the supernatural dominance of society, well, of course there's this tremendous caste system, terrible caste system, and terrible, terrible poverty. Well, how effective is Christianity? I mean, what percentage of the population in India today would be Christian today?
A good question. According to the last Indian census, which was conducted in 2001, it's 2.3% of the population is Christian. So a small percentage, approximately 23 million people out of, it's a little bit more than a billion today. It's probably closer to 1.1, between 1.1 and 1.2 billion today. But, you know, so there's between 20 and 30 million Christians in India.
Well, now, of course, then, do the Hindus actively oppose the Christians? You have freedom of religion over there, or is this simply all window dressing and there is animosity towards the Christian faith?
Well, it's a very important question, Dr. Stan, as I, many Hindus are very tolerant, and so their attitude towards Christianity is, it is a, they like Jesus. So there's no problem with them having people worship Jesus. But there's a growing minority of people, some say as much as 10% of India, that are strongly opposed to Christianity and actually want Christians no longer in the nation of India. And that's in spite of the constitutional right of freedom of religion in India today.
So is there any active, is this just an opinion, or is there any active persecution of Christians?
Well, right now there is active persecution against the church, and another outbreak against the church began the end of August and continues to this day. And since that time, since the end of August, actually August 24 is when this really started in a massive way, there have been 50 Christians that have been martyred. 4,300 Christians have had their homes burned down by these Hindu extremists. Over 50,000 Christians are now homeless. And there have been 400 churches destroyed. And this is in just the last 40 days or so.
Well, isn't it amazing we're not really hearing about that here in the United States?
You know, it... that amazes me. Though, I must say, you know, most people don't look very hard at the news for things that are going on around the world, unfortunately. That doesn't happen very often. But yet, just today, in the New York Times, a lead article, New York Times, October 13th, the title of the article is Hindu Threat to Christians, Convert or Flee. And in here, they say that India is the world's most populous democracy and officially a secular nation, and is haunted by a stark assault on one of its fundamental freedoms. Here in eastern Orissa state, riven by 6 weeks of religious clashes, Christian families say they are being forced to abandon their faith in exchange for their safety. So the New York Times picked it up today. I know it's been in The Economist, which is a journal a number of people read in the United States on a regular basis. I read Indian newspapers each day from the Internet, and it has been front page articles for well over a month now.
But you're talking about Indian newspapers, and most people don't read Indian newspapers. We depend upon American newspapers, and American newspapers, for some reason, except as you mentioned, the New York Times, have certainly not picked this up.
They haven't, except on rare occasion. I ask myself, what is the reason for the neglect of the tragedy that's going on against the Christian church in India today? And part of it is the religious battle that's going on in the United States. As followers of Jesus Christ, many of us are not looked at very positively today by the secular media.
And, of course, the media is owned by secular people. There are about six major corporations that control 90-95% of the media. That's covered in a wonderful book called The New Media Monopoly by Professor Ben Bagdakian. People need to get it and read it. And, of course, understand that the media in America is very effectively controlled. So I think it's important that people understand the freedom of the press means if you own the press, you can suddenly delete any stories you want to, and that's what they're doing. And this is why you're not hearing about the persecution of Christians, of the small Christian minority there in India today. At least that's my impression of it. There really is the intense hatred of Christianity by certain people at the upper echelons of the American media.
I believe that's true, Stan. And unfortunately, it exists even at governmental levels, not just at the media, but there are definitely some strong born-again believers who have been trying to raise this issue before our own Congress and Senate, and so that the U.S. could make a strong statement against what's happening. I know that the Catholic Church has been out of Rome, has spoken out very strongly against the persecution. The Pope has made a number of statements. They don't discriminate in India between Catholics and Protestants or Evangelicals and Pentecostals. A Christian is a Christian in their minds. A Hindu extremist looks at a Christian, no matter what their affiliation is, as the same. And so Catholics have been in many ways the brunt of much of the violence that's going on today in India. And the Pope has made very strong statements against what's happening.
All right, fine. Well, of course, what percentage of the Christians there would be Catholic? What percent would be Protestant? Any idea?
Well, I think that it's a little less than 50% Catholic.
All right.
Majority is Protestant, Evangelical, Pentecostal today, yes.
All right, fine. Of course, the Catholic believes in the deity of Jesus Christ, which is the essence.
Absolutely.
We can argue back and forth, but, I mean, certainly there are a lot of good Catholics, probably better Christians than I am. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, I guess this evening, Don Edwards. Now, what is your official capacity, Don?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Biblical context, which I think is a great idea to reach people, because it serves a dual purpose. First of all, it helps them. It gives them perhaps a route out of their poverty. But of course, as it focuses their attention upon the Word of God. Of course, really, we
their Creator. Yes, right? Absolutely.
So you go right ahead with what you were saying.
And so, for example, Dr. Stan, what we do is our training. We train the nationals to teach literacy. We don't actually, Westerners don't do the teaching. The nationals actually go in a language that, like a mother tongue language, and teach that language, teach the people who already speak that language to be able to read that language and to be able to, because right now, illiteracy in India means you can't even write a letter. You can't write your name. You can't read a number. You don't know what a number on a currency bill looks like or what it is. You can't tell, you know, for example, $10 from $1. No. So people that are illiterate really are often the most exploited people as well on the earth. And so we, by bringing literacy, we bring them uplift. There are health benefits, financial benefits, social benefits, and of course, our prayer is that people, when they're exposed to their Creator and know that God loves them, that they too will make a decision to trust their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Don Edwards, and we're certainly talking about, the wonderful things that Mission India is doing over in India to try to bring people into a relationship with the Lord. And of course, literacy is such an important thing. What a wonderful gift to give to anyone, whether adult or child, but specifically to a child with a whole life ahead of them, to be able to learn to read. Do they have any sort of a public educational system over there for the, for the billion people that they have?
Well, they do. But many don't have an opportunity to go to school because of where they live. Most of India, 72% of India lives in villages outside metropolitan areas. And in many of those areas, there are no schools available, or if there are schools, there are no teachers. And if there are schools and there are teachers, in many cases, because the families are so poor, the children must work in the fields and they don't have an opportunity to go to school because they must work in order to get their daily bread to survive. And so what happens is, and actually, Dr. Stan, our main focus for our literacy is adult literacy rather than through school. So we focus our energies on teaching adults. If you want to change illiteracy that's been going on for generation to generation to generation, really the person you need to focus on is the mother. If the mother learns to read and sees the benefit of literacy, then she is going to want education for her children. If the mother doesn't learn to read, then they're going to not insist their child go to school. They're going to want them in the field. And so in order to break that cycle of poverty and illiteracy, really, the best way to tackle that problem is by reaching the parent.
Well, what percentage of the people there would be considered illiterate in India today? Are we talking about half the population, 25%?
According to census data, which we believe is a very conservative estimate, it's about 40%. Most literacy experts say it's closer to 70%.
70% of the population is illiterate, can't read, and therefore really has no path out of the out of poverty.
That's true. That's right. That's exactly right, Stan. And so that's one of the ministry focuses that Mission India has, and you can see why. For example, it wouldn't make sense to send a Western missionary, a Western person to India to teach them, an Indian, to read their mother tongue if Indians are there and ready and willing to do this. And it's a lot less expensive that way.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Don Edwards. We're talking about what's going on in India today, and I don't think most people have any idea what it is or what's really going on. in India. This is the big problem. That I mean, it's half a world away from us. We don't have any contact. We know that the Indian people, when you see them here in this country, they look very Caucasian. They are Caucasians. They just have darker skin than we do. Oh, they're really very, very brilliant, very capable people. But, of course, with 70% of them, as much as 70% trapped in poverty, this is a terrible burden for any society. And, of course, I think a lot of this has to do with their religious beliefs, which, of course, have discouraged the human compassion that is really necessary to solve the problems. What about when the British were there, certainly under colonialism? Wasn't there a conscious effort then to educate the people, or was there? Do you know?
Yes. In fact, one of the things that I don't know if I would say it was the result of the British, missionaries who came to India, beginning with William Carey, really saw the importance of education and saw that as also a door opener for bringing the gospel into India. And Christian schools are all over that nation and, in fact, are looked at as the finest educational institutions in India today. However, there aren't enough of them. And one of the ironies of Christian education in India today is most of the Hindu extremists that are persecuting the church today have all been educated in Christian schools, and they educate their children in Christian schools, and yet they violently persecute the church.
Why would that be? It seems that's a little incongruous.
It is incongruous as I think about it, but what they want from Christian education is don't tell us about Christ, just educate us and leave religion out of it.
And you can't leave religion out of it, after all. Our freedoms come from our religious beliefs. If we did not have the belief in Jesus Christ, we would not have a free society here in America. And we're going to be back in just a moment with Mr. Don Edwards right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But before we go on, and we do have Mike calling, of course, from Santa Cruz, I'll ask him to be patient. But before we go on, I'd like you to give your website, your telephone number, in case anybody would like to get in touch with your ministry, Mission India.
Sure. I think the best way to contact us, Stan, is through our website, and our website is missionindia.org. Missionindia, no space, missionindia.org. And we have information about our ministries, and we also have, we're updating it constantly right now with the details of what's happening in terms of the church being persecuted there. We recommend that any of your listeners who are interested, go directly to our website at missionindia.org.
All right, missionindia.org. And if they don't have a computer, is there a number to call? Well, if they're not, that's all right.
Yes, there is. I do have a number, Stan, and it is, I don't have an 800 number handy, but our phone number there is 616-453-8855.
Oh, you have to repeat the number twice here.
Sure. 616-453-8855.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hi, Stan. I have a question, but first I'd like to say you are, in your discussion, you are right up against my question, amazingly. And I'd like to add first, though, that I was raised, I got a part of my education growing up in Catholic school, and those years I see as being the very best part of my educational experience. But it turned me off so badly to Christianity somehow that I wouldn't look at Christianity again until I was 36.
Wow.
And I'm 58 now. Now, what I wanted to ask was, India's first experience, I think we could say, was with the Church of England. And that may have been a very bad experience, similar to the experience that our colonial America had coming out of all of that and not ever wanting for that situation to be created again. And so I wonder how much of that probably very bad experience of India's is residual even now, and not just residual, but maybe even still active to where those Hindu activists you're referring to, just as you said, got their education, but through that, I suppose, came to understand enough about what might still be the residuals of the Church of England there so that they would militate against it.
Well, first of all, the first experience of India with the gospel was actually apostolic. Thomas, the Apostle Thomas, is said to have gone to India, and actually there are remnants of the church back to the first century. The Syrian Orthodox Church is an ancient church in India today. So Christianity has been there much longer than it's been in the Western world. Most people in the United States don't know that. Did the Church of England leave a sour taste in some people's minds? Perhaps. I don't think that's the issue. I really believe that the issue is not the poor behavior of the Christian church, even though at times the Christian church does behave badly, but rather it's about conscious rejection of the person of Jesus Christ. The world of India revolves around the demonic. And, one of the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. That is deeply offensive to the Hindu. And it's the truth of Scripture that brings, in many ways, about this animosity. And when I read about it, you know, the Ten Commandments are often cited as one of the core reasons why we hate Christianity. And of course, then the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ. They don't like that.
All right, I think that's a very valid point. Anything else you'd like to ask, Mike?
That's probably the most important point, is the nature of man versus the nature of God and the purely demonic element.
And I think that people really do not understand that the strong ties of the supernatural in other countries as they exist in Africa. I know, for instance, when I lived in South Africa, a strong demonic influence there, it permeating every aspect of the life, including our maid, who, of course, put her, her bed up on paint cans. All the black maids put their beds on paint cans because they all believe in a little demon named Togolosh who would come and jump into bed with them if they didn't have their bed up off the floor. It was just part and parcel of the life there. In fact, there's certainly all of our patients. I've worked at a black hospital, and they all went to see the witch doctor before they came to see the white doctor. We were sort of a referral practice if the witch doctor couldn't cure them. But the thing is that the witch doctor did cure some of them, but of course, using demonic power, this is the thing that people really don't understand. There really is another dimension out there. There really are people who can tap into that dimension, but we certainly don't want to. And the reason that we have the prosperity we have in the West, and part of it is, of course, the corrupt system that we have, but there is a residual of a Christian civilization here that they haven't been able to destroy us yet. Anything else you'd like to say, Mike, before we let you go?
Not for now. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And I think this is a valid point. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Our guest this evening, Don Edwards, who is with missionindia.org. That's missionindia.org. And they're on the front lines of this battle in India. They're exclusively in India trying to bring the word of God to the people. Now, they have all sorts of different languages over there, don't they?
They do. There are 1,652 different languages and dialects. It's a very complicated place, and the government of India has declared there to be 18 official languages. Government in those states is conducted in those specific languages. It's kind of like Europe in a way when you go from France to Italy, except that when you go from state to state, not only is the language different, but the script is different, where you can't even read the letters because they're written totally differently. And so it's a very complex on a language, very complex language-wise there.
And I really, of course, this is the one thing here in America we keep trying to tell people, don't you understand the people who want to destroy America want a bilingual or multilingual society? Why do you think they won't refuse, absolutely refuse, to make English the official language here in America? Why? Because they hate America. If you wanted to unite India, the best thing to do would be to have one language. You would then unite the people. They would feel they're part of one body. But here you've got over 1,000 different dialects and 18 official languages. I mean, no wonder there is chaos over there. And, of course, it's why it wonders so difficult to get any progress in this tragic, tragic nation where suddenly over 900 million people live in a state of poverty and less than $2.50 a day.
Yes.
Well, right now, let's go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I had a question for John. Actually, I've often wondered about the hierarchy of these demonic forces or whatever it is. There's a god named Vishnu or something?
Yes.
What is Vishnu?
Well, Vishnu is known, they say Vishnu is the preserver. They've got a destroyer and a preserver and a creator, kind of a trinity of major gods in India. But looking at, if you ask a Hindu, how many gods and goddesses do you have in India, the most common answer will be 330 million. Gods and goddesses in India. And every family will worship major deities and minor deities, and every person will have virtually their own god or goddess that they worship, in addition to those.
So it varies.
Think how fortunate we are here, Ray, in America, where we just have one god.
Oh, at
least those of us who are Christians, now we may have different approaches, but we recognize one god, and that would be a Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Do you think that maybe possibly this worship of these whatever they are, they're probably demonic forces of some kind, do you think it manifests itself in disease and kind of a vicious cycle of where most of the people are enslaved pretty much, aren't they? I'm kind of...
Yeah, if I look at it, to me, it's pretty black and white. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
And I see the demonic worship leads to that. And what it does is it leads to people worshiping the creation rather than the creator. They'll bow before a tree, they'll bow before a stone, they'll bow before a snake, they'll worship the cow, anything and everything in it degrades man.
So disease follows forth because, they sort of sanctify these animals and whatnot, and I suppose they have quite a bit of disease in relation to, in proportion to these kind of crazy beliefs that they have in these deities.
It's true. I think disease is a little... I think it's related to worship of demons, but it's also related to illiteracy. People don't understand what good hygiene is. One of the simple lessons we teach in our literacy class is that you shouldn't pee on the well.
Right. Yeah.
And when people defecate, they shouldn't go right outside the door of their hut, but should go away from their hut, dig a hole, and put it in the ground.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, in so many places in India, there's open sewage, and they don't know the link between, you know, filth and disease.
They're not taught that in school? Or how does the school system work?
Because many don't go to school. Many have not had the opportunity to go to school.
Oh, see,
therefore, they don't know that.
Oh, I see. That's a really big problem.
It seems so difficult, you know, for the average American to realize that here's almost a billion people, and 900, over 900 million of that billion people live in abject poverty, and you're dealing with a literacy rate somewhere between 40 and 70%, that
yes.
Some people think it's as much as 70%. It's a whole different world, Ray.
Mm.
It's a world that you and I find it very difficult to believe in. We live in a utopian world. I don't know how much longer we're going to live in this utopian world, but we do live in a utopian world. We should do everything we can to not only preserve it, but try to bring the same advantages to other people throughout the world, because Indians are very, very resourceful and very intelligent people.
The only one other comment that I had to make was that concerning this merging of New Age and Indian beliefs and the whole thing, even the Catholic Church, even some of the people in the Catholic Church have advocated this,
ecumenicalism?
Ecumenical version of people like, you know, in the Catholic Church itself, there are bishops and there are cardinals and there's also in the Protestant Church as well, people that feel that this is perfectly all right to teach yoga and to, sort of blend these Hindu beliefs into a Christianity. And it's very incongruous because it doesn't really mix with Christianity.
But I say, I think, Ray, and I'm sure you have listened long enough to know that there really is an attack on Christianity, and not only from without, it's from within. They've infiltrated our churches. They're using their positions of power within the Catholic and the Protestant Church to undermine the very tenets of Christianity, which, of course, is the foundation of our belief.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say, Ray?
That's about it.
God bless. That's good to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But this is really a unique opportunity to talk to Don and really get an idea what's really going on in this. Suddenly, the second most populous nation in the world today. In fact, if you look at China, and then you take China and you take India, you're talking over a third of the population of the world today in those two countries. So we really need to know what's going on there, and I think it's so vitally important what Don is doing is to try to bring the Word of God there. And I think Christianity is really flourishing in China today. They said that there may be 80 to 100 million people there who are Christians. We've only got about 27 million in India, but hopefully through the work that Don and his group are doing, that number is going to multiply. And I really think that we are moving into a time, not only here in the United States, but throughout the world, a time of financial trial and trouble and hope maybe as things get, I don't know how much they get worse they get in India, but I know here as things get worse, I think people are going to return to our Lord. I'm just hoping this same thing can be happening over in India as well. Sydney, is the influence of Christianity increasing, or is it just sort of holding its own?
Well, I think, Dr. Stan, where the church is the way the church is growing rapidly, and is kind of like the way the church grew and has grown in China through the house church movement. And it's expanding quite rapidly, even in North India that's been traditionally rather closed to the gospel. And so I would say that today could be the we could be experiencing the greatest growth of Christianity in that nation that's ever happened.
But of course, with a thousand languages, you're going to have to get a thousand different versions of the Bible. That's going to be the most difficult thing, is to have a Bible that everybody can get to. Because, of course, you know, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. But you've got to have it in a language, a dialect that you understand.
True.
Our guest has been Don Edwards. Hang on, Don. We'll be back in just a moment.
Sure.
Well, Don.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Media, he said one article, in The Economist, well, how many Americans lead The Economist? And then this article in the this New York Times, we'll certainly look forward to reading that. I hope it's not buried, buried on page 93 under the Potros ad, like these things usually are. Anyway, because maybe we should get Don onto some of our other programs and get his message out. I think it's vitally important for Christians to understand that Christianity is not only under attack in India, it's under attack right here in the United States. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And we've been so fortunate here. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need, of course, to read or hear my talk on The Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret. And then, of course, you certainly need to hear my talk on the planned police state and get the syllabus, because we actually have things there that come from the Luciferians, that their writings, they tell you exactly what they're doing and the power that they exert. You just are never going to understand that. And the Luciferian movement interlocks with the Brotherhood of Darkness. They are one and the same. So our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Let me remind you about our weekend all-day conference. It's going to be on the 26th of October. That's a week from Sunday at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And, of course, we're bringing in speakers from across the country. Lunch will be served. We're going to open the doors at 7:45 to 8 o'clock and go till 5 or 5:30. We do hope that many of you out there in the audience will be able to come. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you can bring other people, we can introduce them to Dr. Blaylock, who's going to be there talking on medicine, to Joanna Michelson, who's going to be there talking on the supernatural. And she knows, because she was part and parcel of the supernatural movement in contact with the beings from the other dimension for many years, until she suddenly realized this was not of our Lord, but it was demonic. And then Patrick Wood will be there to talk about what's happening financially. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not making your preparations properly, why, you can be wiped out in times like this. And so our job is to try to preserve what we have so we can utilize that, to help others, to be able, of course, to be able to survive the coming turmoil, but, of course, to utilize what we have, to encourage people to come into a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, because we're involved in a spiritual battle being waged on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational battlefield. But most people have no idea what's going on, because nobody explained to them that our enemy is not imaginary. He has millions of disciples right here in our society, and many of them are working within the Catholic Church. They're working within the Protestant Church. They're working within the Jewish religion. They're working within the New Age movement. And of course, all of these ancillary movements that are out there, tapping into this other unknown dimension. So we do hope that you'll want to get the information, that you'll help us to disseminate it, to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. We hope that you'll be able to go there and that you'll be able to obtain information and, of course, pass it on to your friends. Try to get them, if they can, to come to our conference, if not, to listen to our programs. We are entering the most dangerous time in our nation's history. Remember, if you haven't heard my talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus that goes with that, you need to get it. Certainly our pamphlets on the history of money, the financial meltdown, the books, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy,